We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Recovery Road, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and I want to say, first of all, thank you to each and every one of you who are joining us from wherever it is that you are on this wonderful planet. Today, I'm joined by my frequent guest, Dr. David Hardy. Dr. Dave, how are you today?
Oh, fantastic. Yes. Yeah, excited for another show here.
Oh, very good. And so it's interesting because we're recording today on Remembrance Day. So November 11th is Remembrance Day here in Canada and around the world, although in some locations it's not celebrated on actually November 11th. Sometimes it's a couple of days later on the second Sunday in November. Those kinds of things in the UK anyway. But I wanted to dedicate this episode to the theme of Remembrance Day and sort of what is important about this day. And also note that I asked other guests who are recording with me today if they wanted to record an episode or not, or just to observe that today is kind of a day off in most places around the world to honor the sacrifice of people's lives. And everyone that I asked said no, that they wanted to record today because they wanted to do something special to remember that there had been sacrifices for the great freedoms that we have in our country and around the world in Western civilizations. And so I'm looking forward to today's episode. It's a little different than just talking about neurology, but yet it still does, our chiropractic, it still does have crossovers because our lives and our bodies are really affected by war.
And absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So what do you have to say about that, Dr. Hardy?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited and happy to be here to be more active in observing a holiday that's been around for a long time, since World War I, World War II. And it's amazing that the sacrifices that happened back then are even more relevant today, because we're starting to get into that lull where we need to be reminded that we're in the most peaceful time in human history, and that's because of all the wars and sacrifices that other generations made for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone who has died in a war?
I do not personally, no. I do know people who have been in active service and who have been in combat situations, but a personal acquaintance, friend, family member that recently passed away in a major conflict, I haven't been affected by that, to be honest, and luckily so, because that's a horrific place to be in.
And I think it's one of the reasons, though, why so easily it's forgotten is because a lot of people haven't experienced any personal loss, and it was a common topic within the family unit about grandpa, whoever going off to war, or grandma, whoever, working at the munitions factory, and then, kind of the war stories were a reminder, a stark reminder of just how much sacrifice there was at the family level. Farmers, some of them got to stay home. Often, many brothers would get sent off to war and one would stay at home to farm, and they would lose their entire family. These Yes. war stories have got forgotten, and not in necessarily the military families. Like I was in my first marriage, my brother-in-law was killed over in Afghanistan. And he had, he was about number 33 or 36. And his mom laid the silver wreath at the National Memorial that year. And he had two little guys. And they were just slightly older than my two children. And so it did affect me. I thought, wow, it's like your father was just taken away, you know. And it made me, I would go and sing the national anthem whenever I got asked to do that. As a result of losing someone in my family, I thought, what's the one way that I could honor his memory? Something that was, that no one else would really know why I would sing the national anthem. But it's like, I just always, anytime anyone asked me at hockey games and stuff, I'd be like, yeah, I'll sing it for sure. And I always just imagined him kind of there when I was singing. And I thought, we should be proud of the true North, strong and free. And that we've kind of forgotten, because it's gotten out, to your point, that lots of people don't have any personal sort of connection with it.
Yeah. Or they just don't know anyone who's actually in the military anymore either. In Canada, our military activity has dwindled to say the least. And and hopefully that's because we're in peaceful times, and not that we're neglecting things instead. So, I know growing up that, my dad and his twin brother were in the military. They went through, military college, and then, my aunt had married, at that point, my uncle and another one. And, he was more the boots on the ground. He was in the airborne and had done some peacekeeping in Cyprus. And that was just the little stories I heard about Cyprus was that even though they were peacekeeping, it was a very tense situation where they were being shot at, and they had to identify remains and all sorts of tragedies of war that really, really messed him up for quite some time. And then of course, being in rugby, there's a lot of military personnel that play rugby as well. So I made friends that were also on missions in Africa and other places in the world that saw combat, and they were under all sorts of stressful situations too that really did affect them for quite some time. And then there's the physical side of it as well, that my one uncle there that I mentioned, he came back with all sorts of back problems and pain issues as well, and on top of the PTSD, and really suffered. So there's a lot that goes on in these situations that if you don't actually know someone that's gone through it, then you're left with just what you hear in the media or in movies and entertainment, which is not the reality of the bloodshed and trauma that occurs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not that glorious.
No, not at all. No.
Glorious. So flash forward to now, you mentioned post-traumatic stress disorder, and we've learned a lot from the military about what war causes in the brain, or the body, or the spirit brain connection. Can you speak to that? Because I think PTSD is something that is said so fast. We've got this down to the acronym now, you know, where everyone's got PTSD essentially from one thing or another.
Right. Yeah.
I've got PTSD for sure, so I can't do anything, but I can't even set my mic up right.
not to take one person's experience versus another, but if we are going to look at very traumatic situations when life is on the line, is definitely one of them, and that's ranked top like it's up there. And yeah, it really ramps up the brain. You're always going to be in this hypervigilant state where it's fight or flight. And the way the brain programs itself is through intensity, how intense a situation is. And obviously combat's going to be one of the largest. Frequency, how often things happen, and duration, for how long of a time frame they happen. And we can see any combination of these. So we can see it in first responders too, that they'll go to several different calls, and over a kind of a career or throughout the years, then the PTSD starts to focus, kind of comes up more often in their lives, because yeah, they've gone to several different calls that were maybe somewhat traumatic, but they were able to deal and cope with it at that moment in time. But over the years, that starts to accumulate in the brain. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of little things that start to set people off instead. And or then there's memories that kind of flash back too, when we're not sure why that happens, but basically it's situations that are similar in the brain that the brain's responding to. And these areas of the brain are more active. So then of course it takes less to set them off, because they're already at that kind of state where they're firing too much. Mm-hmm. And these are going to be more of those primitive centers of the brain that we can't talk to per se. You can have this feeling overcome you and not know why that's happening, and it doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't make sense because it's the primitive parts of our brain that are just, once again, firing alert, based off of past experiences and how it's working now. And we all know that, yeah, the brain is kind of like a muscle. The more you use it, the more efficient it gets. Well, the more trauma you're exposed to throughout a life, and early trauma to adult trauma to all sorts of different traumas, that system starts to get more and more efficient. And then once again, things that probably shouldn't set it off in a normal situation will, because that part of the brain is heightened and those senses are more active, and it takes less and less for it to just go off into all sorts of situations that we wouldn't expect in kind of, I hate saying the word, kind of a normal population, but yeah. And then it's going to start to wear down on the body as well. So over time, that chronic overfiring and these stress circuits of the brain are going to fire down to your stress chemistry. And then your stress chemistry is going to build up over time. And then you get upregulation, downregulation of different receptors, and all sorts of things physiologically start to happen. And the brain and nervous system are so concentrated on the outside world and all these threats that can be happening that it ignores the inside world and that job it has to heal and recover. So then other systems start to fail over periods of time as well. So it just becomes this downwards cascade.
And does the brain distinguish between reality and fantasy?
No, not really. No,
not really. And this is an interesting thing, because when people were in the war, they were in a real war, you know, so they were on the ground fighting a real war with, you know, guns and et cetera, against man to man or in combat. And now the things that we are exposed to, I will say, are not real. So it's this virtual trauma that's happening all the time, which is a different kind of warfare.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The brain can't distinguish one from the other.
Yeah. And all, All these things we like to say trauma, trauma, trauma. But to be honest, they're survival situations. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when we get this threat and that exposure to it, then it physiologically makes us do something. That's the job. And that physiological response is also going to make us feel more alive. And people with this warrior mentality, it's not like they don't like trauma. They like being in these high stakes situations, and that's what they train for. But it's one of those things over time, or the intensity of a certain situation can start to rewire that system in a way that is not going to be productive for that person. And yeah, we all kind of have these heightened alerts that we really enjoy and that we're drawn to. And then take it to another level. Somebody who really, really enjoys those situations so much that they would dedicate their life and their careers to being in these paths that have these high stakes situations. And yeah, it makes them feel alive. You get all the adrenaline, everything else. But that system can be overwhelmed, and a lot of people aren't going to realize it until they've hit that stage. And it's not a good situation when people find their nervous system just shot. Mm-hmm. And overactive, crashing and firing too much, then crashing again. And it becomes physical as well as emotional and mental. And it's the combination of all. And the longer and longer that process goes on, then you're going to have pain sensitization as well, both physical and emotional. And it just becomes this downward spiral unless the proper interventions are made. And I think the whole psychological counseling, coaching side of things is really advanced that way. But it doesn't deal with the physical side of it as well as probably a lot of other therapies and modalities that have kind of been ignored. And we do know that chronic use of different substances and medications are not the right approach too. So there really needs to be this evolution that happens. Yeah, we've got the awareness to all these things that occur. But we're probably not utilizing a lot of therapies to help the brain, body, and nervous system function better and recover from mm-hmm. from a system that's being overused, overworked, and is now starting to fail and not function the way that these amazingly trained people that have put themselves on the line for others, for their country, deserve. They deserve better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had the pleasure of being trained by a couple of ex-special ops guys when I was in my early athletic days, and I learned a lot from them. And I got invited to be part of a special fighting group.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to this thing. They said, well, you're not like a civvy. I didn't even know what they were talking about, but like, I guess I wasn't very much like a civilian, or I wasn't very civilized. Either way, I got invited to do this fight club thing, and I went, and I thought, yeah, this is not for me, because you have to have the ability to actually look at everything as if it's a threat. And I just couldn't do it. I was like, I can't do that. I can't walk into a room and go, everything is a threat. But that's how you need to be wired in order to do the work that they did. So my my debut at Fight Club was short-lived. I trained hard, but I just was like, no, I don't want to be wired that way. However, you know, flash forward now 15 years later, because that's about that long ago. I think it would have actually served me maybe to appreciate that a bit more, because when you understand what the threat is and you see it clearly, then you are not necessarily going to be subjugated to things that you don't want to participate in.
Right.
Because you see it coming. And so you go, nope, not doing that.
There is definitely a level of empowerment that comes with it. And I always use the martial arts example, that people that are really trained well in martial arts can turn that fight instinct on instantaneously. But they walk around kind of with a different presence and sense of kind of self-confidence, because their system is just so well trained, so well adapted. And you see this in all sorts of other professions as well, that there is a level of training can take you, that your nervous system is just so well responsive to threats, dangers. And then kind of at its resting state, usually there's kind of this calm that you can handle any situation that's thrown at you. Mm-hmm. The problem is when that system or that ability to maintain that is overwhelmed and taking past than what it can handle. And then we really end up in different situations. And we see kind of that resiliency too, that if people aren't well trained in their body and nervous system and how their brain quickly reacts to threats and situations, then when they're tossed into situations that are maybe less traumatic, that they're overwhelmed and that these systems become too heightened and firing way too much, and then diagnosis of PTSD or some other mental health around it. So part of it, kind of in this whole mental health, call it epidemic, whatever you want to call it, is that the resiliency of humans too is probably less trained, less adapted, and then the stresses of regular life and other things are overwhelming a poorly adapted system.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
I like to bring up the example of the martial arts. I think that's a really important one. A lot of people get into it and they are trained. One of the things I think that's a differentiator, because I am a Qigong teacher and a Qigong practitioner, which is the basis mm-hmm. of all martial arts. And for anyone who wants to know more about that, you can go to the masteryourlife.ca website. You can check out the Qigong offering there, because I've partnered with my master, who is Lee Hold, and his master is Mantak Chia. So to offer classes to people to help them to learn this skill that you're speaking. What I found is the difference between maybe the two, just as coming to me right now, between the special ops sort of training and the martial arts training, was that one was unnatural. Like, it's unnatural to be looking for a threat, that stuff that's coming from things that are not like naturally occurring, but you're just always looking for it, versus the Qigong, which is you're just naturally prepped for every kind of threat that comes.
Right. Yeah. Nature.
So there is a slight difference in that, where you're just competent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to, and that's why there's different martial arts and there's different different techniques for training, is it's situational as well. And the basic though is that you're honing your body and nervous system to handle things better. Right. And movement builds the nervous system, which builds the brain. And I think that's too why we start to see people that are sedentary having all these issues with stress, is that they don't live in a body that's conditioned to actually handle and move around with stress, or they're stuck at a desk and they can't move around when there is a stressful situation. There's a reason why we build up these stress chemistry. It's to fight or flight. It's to actually move. And if you just sit there and let all of that stress chemistry build, it's going to be toxic for the system. It's meant to be used up. And yeah, I use the example of children at a desk. Okay, they're heightened, they're alert, they're agitated, and then they're told to sit down and be quiet. It's like, probably not a good idea.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what we do.
And we're no different. Like, so it's like I say, oh, wag your tail, you know, at the desk, stand up and wag your tail like a puppy, and that'll get some of the jitters out. There's some things you can do really quickly. Just move your body,
but go for a little walk, something. Yes.
Yeah. And if you can't get out for a walk, though, you can change your central nervous system in less than 3 seconds by doing some spinal cord breathing. So it's very quickly that we can change the energetic state of our bodies. And it's been robbed from us that really this whole that we need a gym, that we need a gym membership, that you have to have 50 friends with you to go do it, which is nice. That's, you know, but if you,
you need your Instagram on.
And when it comes to the Remembrance Day thing, like, lots of people came back from war unable to move. Like, many people had lots of injuries that prevented them from moving. And so that, on top of losing your physical prowess, which would be for men, that's a big thing.
And we've only been talking about kind of the emotional side of the traumatic experience. We haven't even dove into basically how the nervous system handles blast injuries, damage to itself, being bashed around. And all of that is, of course, concussion related or something similar as well, or mild traumatic brain injury. And that requires a special level of how to rehab the nervous system as well. And we've traditionally kind of done a horrible job at it, and are not being able to recognize it properly in people, especially kind of in our elite, because an elite nervous system that's damaged might look similar or better to an average person out there, but it's damaged and it needs that work done to it to rehab it and hopefully get it functioning back to a similar state it was used to functioning at.
And so with blast injuries, or is there anything that is similar on the brain that shows up in the same expression on the brain that is not a blast injury? Like, if somebody visually watches something on TV and sees these injuries that people are sustaining through all kinds of the shows that are on nowadays, which is lots of car crashes or lots of people being shot, lots of bloody murder scenes, that kind of thing. Is the neurology affected similarly to when somebody has a blast injury?
It might be affected a little bit as well, because the brain and nervous system's observing something that is damaging. Mm-hmm. So it's going to, of course, process that as being a damaging situation. It's not going to have the same intensity as actually being thrown around or being blasted by this wave of energy that scrambles different circuits and wiring and physiology. So the intensity is not going to be the same level. But there's probably a perceived threat, and also, of course, the building of all this reaction from observing it, and then, of course, doing it multiple times is going to also start to build up more than just watching it once or twice type thing.
Mm-hmm. So are we blasted by waves of energy that we're unaware of?
Constantly. we can't get away from different energy and frequencies. A lot of it is low intensity, but some people don't have the same resiliency in their genetics or within how their system has developed or been injured in the past, and they can be more sensitive to all these frequencies of different energy that constantly bombard us and hit us. So it's a thing. It's out there. We are an energy live living system, and we have all sorts of receptors and perception, and that we really consciously can't compute or don't have the knowledge of what's actually affecting us. And we just know we maybe don't feel right, or that unfortunately some people in their normal state, it's not a normal state per se. They're just used to being kind of in that sluggish, rundown or hyperactive state of being, and they aren't going to know any different until you make a change to the physiology and how they're feeling and functioning.
So it's just striking me that it's like, why did people go to war? What was the purpose of going to war? What's the purpose of the statement, lest we forget? Like, what is it we're trying to remember, and why does it matter?
Right. Yeah, war is really completely stupid, to be honest, like, especially in today's modern world, because for the most part, we're not deprived of resources. And kind of traditionally tribal settings, of course, there'd be all sorts of situations where you're running out of food or other things that you need to sustain yourself. And then, of course, why not just take it from that other group over there so that we can survive? Mm-hmm. It's always been there, and it's less needed now in the modern world. But you're starting to see a resurgence of it, and hopefully that's something we can, as a species, work out instead, because the consequences of a fallout campaign of anything now, the magnitude is just so immense compared to what it was. And Remembrance Day was mainly around the First World War, the Great War. But that saw some of the worst carnage and mass deaths of any war before it. And then, of course, as technology and mechanization has just increased, the ways we can kill off people is just so much higher, and that threat is just something that is immense compared to kind of just the little skirmishes then that would happen before. But yeah, kind of go off on a little tangent there.
Well, that's, no, it's okay to go off on tangents. Like yeah, it's right. Not scripted, you know, conversation really to bring people to the forefront of what it is in their own mind and heart that they would go, it's okay for me to send my son or daughter into a situation where they might lose their life. Like what would create where that's okay in our mentality that we would throw our own children in harm's way, which is unnatural, which is not natural. And so in the, yeah, definitely the times of warfare, like Sparta, and it, you know, there's lots of honor. You see the stories of the young man who goes out and he goes through his, you know, rites of passage and then comes back to the village, a warrior, and is able to actually protect the tribe and those kinds of things. And I think that's important to have, you know, your ability.
And that mentality is still around in people, and it's human nature in a lot of people. And we're not going to get away from that warrior mentality. What we hopefully can do, though, is put people in safer situations where it's sport versus combat, and allow people to realize that, yeah, if I build up my system and these activities, then it is something I can handle, feel better, and get out these urges of violence that we all have. And versus actually having to go off and being in a life or death situation. And that takes a lot of leadership at a lot of different levels. So,
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And I think it's okay to be prepared for life and death situations if you're living somewhere that's cold. Yeah, like you should be, I think, 100%. And you should be able to get your own food, and you should be able to take care of yourself. You're growing food, or however you're going to make that happen. Growing food, hunting, that kind of stuff, that is part of our personal freedom. You know, to make sure that we are able to take care of ourselves and nourish ourselves, and that you can't just sit on the sidelines watching other people do it for you. And, you know, one of the things too with the military, with the Army in particular, they've really been used for a lot of experimentation. And now we've got this huge experiment going on with the public and the push in this country to line up your five-year-olds for vaccines is a real thing. And so when you're thinking about personal freedoms, really do think about how willing you are to hand your kids over to places where, and to the government who does not necessarily have your best interest at heart. Or your family. Sometimes they do and sometimes they do not, but you need to do your due diligence. That's what the lest you forget is about, is your personal freedom. You know, so our forefathers fought for our personal freedom. How seriously are you taking the sacrifice of their lives? Or, you know, and are you introspective at all about how you just hand over your personal freedom, or how you've given over your personal freedom to other people, long-term or short-term. And we've all done it, you know, so in one way, shape, or form throughout the span of our life, where we've handed over authority to somebody else. And then we kick ourselves in the butt for doing that, because then we're under the thumb of them, right? You go, oh, it's like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But that's what is the pretext of all these great wars, is that we're, you know, under the thumb of somebody. So we've got to fight. It's like, fight our way out, quote, sort of. Like, that's at least the idea. Right? And so it's like examining, who are we under the thumb of? What do I need to remember about not kind of handing over my life to other people, but taking back that authority and creating a life that is healthy and happy? Because without health, it doesn't matter how much money you make, because you'll be dead before you can use it.
Yeah, the whole idea of war and conflict is power and those dynamics and everything that can be stated about that. And war by itself is, okay, is it the collective good for whatever country? But there's always been a personal responsibility with each individual in every single situation and training and everything that goes into developing self. So it is one of those things that the more kind of self-reliant people can be and the stronger they can be, then the better the collective good, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And that comes down to, yeah, whichever morals, values you hold individually, but more so through whatever actions you do to help yourself out in all those areas as well. So yeah, it's such a complex situation, and there's so many kind of political avenues people are going through in their minds with all of this. Mm-hmm. But that's stress and that's conflict, and the better able you are to react appropriately to stress and conflict requires a highly developed nervous system functioning really amazingly so you can do that and recover and heal as well. So the old martial arts, the original warfare was both martial arts, killing other people, fighting other people, and then also what branched off was healing arts. And Qigong is maybe an example of that as well, is that they both had the martial and the healing arts. So high levels of this huge activity and then rest, recovery, and heal as well. So getting back into that perspective and mind frame of things is, I think, key and important as well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so for the last few minutes, let's talk about what good strategies might be for people who are wanting to take back their health or their healing and their wellness, their well-being, and just to get moving. What would be some of your top tips?
Yeah. If you're very ramped up and anxious, get it out somehow. Do an exercise activity that releases you from that. And then afterwards, go into the heal, recovery, meditation, relaxation techniques. So that's a little different than some people saying, if you're in this stressful situation, then de-escalate through the meditation and stuff. I'm sometimes the mind frame that, no, you need to act and move in a vigorous way to get it out sometimes. And then afterwards, work on calming the system down and recovering as well. So that's kind of just a unique perspective, I think, that many people haven't really addressed in the same fashion. And then, yeah, the breathing and the relaxation, all those are great healing things. Mm-hmm. To get us into a different state and take us away from this anxious fight-flight mentality that we're constantly bombarded with. And if you're not good at the relaxation stuff, it tells you you're probably very, very pushed into this fight or flight constant state, and you need to practice getting out of it. And it's just going to be that practice and putting these routines into work daily and several times per day as well. And yeah, the example of Olympic athletes, warriors at their field and trade as well, is that the big themes now is also on the rest recovery side of things, not just on doing the exercises and everything else, that that it does require time to recover and put yourself into a different state where the body heals. And there's so many different activities and things we can do. And then if you want to get even more specific, then figuring out what parts of the nervous system and physiology aren't working is key. And then that takes an extra level of expertise and skill. And so concentrate on the things that you know and constantly monitor, same, better, worse, with what you're trying to get your body to do and change your state.
Right. And give yourself a pat on the back when you accomplish stuff too. That's
yes.
Yeah. Give yourself a little, I'd be great. I think gratitude's as well, going and being grateful for what you've been able to accomplish in the day to bring attention and awareness to the things that you're actually doing. Because I think a lot of people who are working their way out of health issues don't give themselves any credit either. You know, right. It's well, the trainer did this or the so-and-so did that. And instead it's like going that you can get advice from somebody. You can go and see a great practitioner like Dr. David Hardy, and you can find out more about him at his website as well. We'll mention that right now. Dr. David Hardy, thehardybrain.com.
.ca.
.ca. See? Right now, everybody. .ca. thehardybrain.ca. Just like Master Your Life is masteryourlife.ca. So make sure you... Yeah. You know, connect with us there, but give yourself a pat on the back for the times when you actually do something, like give yourself credit where credit is due. And that way you will be reinforcing for your own brain that it's something that we should do again, you know? So
yeah. That's most people don't know when they're summiting. They just keep climbing and climbing. So yeah, you've got to enjoy things as well and celebrate that. And yeah, that's such a great point you brought up there. So yes. Definitely.
So, and I think also, Dr. Hardy, that this has been lessons learned through your life experience, you know, where you've had the, you know, really intense training and then had to learn how to, you know, manage getting well again after injuries, and then seeing a whole group of people who are really elite athletes go through this as well. And then right down to working with kids who are dealing with these things. You know? So it's not just one population that you see this in. You see that being sedentary for everybody is a problem. And then once you start losing mobility and flexibility and just the will to get out of bed, it really does diminish your capacity to lead a joyful life or even to experience a satisfying life, because people will go, I don't care if I'm happy. I would just like to be satisfied. Good. Satisfied is a good place to shoot for. So, yes, for those of you who have missed any of the prior episodes with Dr. Hardy, please invite you to check out masteryourlife.ca. They're all housed there. And any final words, Dr. Hardy?
Continue on with whatever warrior spirit you have, and also concentrate on the relaxation in a different state as well. So it's a constant practice that you need to work on.
Yeah.
And enjoy, though.
And enjoy. That's right. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I hope you have a wonderful week. Dr. Hardy, thank you so much for being my guest once again and delving into this Remembrance Day edition. Everyone, please take a moment to share it with people who you care about, who you can see maybe are struggling with their health and well-being and need a little boost. And thank you again for taking the time to listen and to communicate with us. We really appreciate your time. And we know also that these are deep podcasts, that it's not a 15-second snippet. So it does require some, really big thinking through and action in your life to be able to take these things and apply them in your life. So just take also time to get a journal, write down with pen and paper what you've learned today, what you maybe would like to take into your life, and start doing some activity right now to be able to change and shift your nervous system to a better, healthier, happier state. That's all for us this week. Everyone, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.